So I've never done this with two people, so let's see how we go. Hello and welcome back to Ticket A42, Australia's leading theatre podcast produced by the team at AussieTheatre.com. I'm John O'Hara, your host, and each month I sit down with someone fun and successful for a big old catch-up about their life, their current project, and their own Ticket A42 moment. Now, this month, I'm going to try something a little bit different. We have not one, but two guests. So please make welcome the female leading ladies of the current production of Dirty Dancing, touring nationally throughout Australia in 2015. The Housman sisters playing baby, Kirby Burgess.
Hello.
Hello. And playing Lisa, Tegan Wooters.
Hi.
It's kind of smoky and sexy in here.
Your voice just got lower.
Hello. Welcome, ladies.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming on board. Now, let's start with you, Kirby.
Yes.
You're playing kind of like your first big major role in a commercial production.
Yep.
How's that going?
It's amazing. I love it. I love this role. I've been obsessed with the film my whole life, and that's true. I don't just say that for interviews. Yeah. So to play this role that I honestly know so well is an honour, really. And I love the show. I love the story. And, you know, I got a little taste of this kind of position covering Rizzo in Greece. And this is a nice little step forward into – I only get one scene off in the show, so it's a full-on role, but I love it.
And do you feel like any pressure because, you know, the movie is so well known and we all know Jennifer Grey in the role. Do you feel any kind of, I don't know, a responsibility towards that?
I mean, Kurt, who plays Johnny, had a really good conversation when we started rehearsals about that pressure and that expectation. And I mean, I don't know. I think I'm a bit of a weird person in this industry. I'm a little bit too laid back and I never really felt too much pressure or I think because I know the show so well, I felt like I will embody her because why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You know, and I trusted that I was cast for this role for a reason and hopefully they saw already a bit of Jennifer Grey in me and that I would give that naturally and I wouldn't have to work for it. And hopefully I'm doing that. I mean,
well, you're getting good reviews.
I've been very lucky and it's such a great role. I mean, she gets to be everything. She gets to be the comedic role. She gets to be the dramatic role and the love interest and the damsel in distress. And
the arc is amazing, you know, and, you know, her whole growth throughout is incredible.
Yeah, and she gets to have that arc with almost every character in the show, which is really rare. You usually just concentrate on one relationship, but it's, you know, it's our Teagues and I's relationship. It's my relationship with my dad, with my mom, with Johnny, with Penny. There's a lot of little stories in there, so it's actually, as an actor, it's really quite fulfilling and, I feel very lucky to be in this position.
Awesome. and Teagues, you're, speaking of getting good reviews, you're getting bloody rave reviews for this kind of comedic turn that you've taken as Lisa. How is it being the funny guy on this one? Because you've played lead roles before, but you're never really the funny guy, are you?
No.
And I'm not
very funny.
I'm not really funny.
I really struggled, actually. It was fun, but I really, that whole, again, going back to being compared to the movie, I was like, you can't be the movie, but Lisa is kind of funny, but she's not really funny in the way that she's like, haha, let's be funny. She's just funny because she's a bit
awkward.
But because she's so genuine in all of her. And I think that's the comedy of this show is that nothing is very slapstick. It's what's so funny is that people are really trying to do this. She's really trying to sing in this end of year concert thing.
And she thinks she's amazing.
And that's what's so funny about Lisa, I think, is that she is just real.
Did you think you were a shoo-in for the role? I mean, no one would think they're a shoo-in for the role, but some people do. But, you know, going in for the audition, did you kind of go, oh, yeah, I could do this? Or did you think it was a little bit left of centre for you?
I suppose you always sort of think that you can do it because otherwise you wouldn't be auditioning for it.
Yeah.
But,
I was in the audition, I was singing, like, really badly because I thought that's what they wanted. And
what she says now.
And Skelts came up to me, the MD.
And
he said to me at one point, you have to sing better. And I was like, why? And he was like, because they think you can't sing. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's just that thing where I don't even know what we're talking about. What
was Did you think you were a
like oh, so yeah, like, yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah. It's and fine. And so yeah, speaking of singing really badly and dancing really badly, because you're a very talented, you know, girl. You can sing and dance. Do you even warm up for this, or do you just rock on out there and do your thing? It must be nice to not have to kind of be
totally,
you know, on top of because Wednesday Addams was full on, and you know Jersey Boys was full on, and you know, but you get to kind of be a total dag.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really fun, and I don't really necessarily warm up. I pretend to,
yeah,
and I do like with my voice. I still do some warm ups because I get a little bit at the end where I try and sing really well, so I'm like, I've got to,
yeah,
and I have to sing quite high at the end, badly, but.
Still
but
it's still,
it's but still
safely,
up there.
safely. Yeah.
So I do, but it is so different. Like I could be so sick and come and do the role because it just doesn't.
There
matter.
Is a load off not having to belt your tits off 8 times a week. Isn't
yeah, because you don't sing either. Really.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a note.
Crazy.
except for our little duo. But
we do sing.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I've added an Elvis part in there.
And we sing in the campfire.
On the campfire. Yes, Lisa gets a starring role in the campfire.
And baby sings along. It's really cute.
Yeah. I would say it's a little bit different. I don't say I warm up for that part.
Yeah. 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 Sure. Yeah. Kirby, the physical demands of playing baby must be quite big. You know, it's a big dance and stuff.
It was a big surprise for me because when I got the role, I was quite surprised, as I'm kind of answering two questions now of what you asked before, because I was playing Rizzo at the time.
Yeah.
I went in thinking there's no way they're going to see me as this role because I'm always cast as either the naked one or the sassy or the bad girl. Or I think because I do have quite a low voice, most people see me as that, the darker side of a show.
You're in your body though too. Like I don't know you particularly well, but as a performer, like when I've seen you, you're kind of, there's something sensual about you.
Yeah,
so,
I think it's a confidence maybe of like, it's all for show, but, you know. So auditioning for this role, I was like, I don't think they're going to see me. And I went in there, long blonde hair, and I am a dancer. So it's that thing of do I dance badly in the audition or do I dance well so they can see where they can take me? And I thought going into this, I even said to my partner, Ben, I said, God, this is going to be a breeze. I don't sing. I have to be a bad dancer. This is going to be so easy. And it's the hardest role I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. It,
like I said earlier, I only get one scene off in the show. If I'm not on stage for that 2 seconds, I'm doing the quickest change I've ever done in my life. And I've likened it a lot to actually just sprinting on the treadmill for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's full on, and the dancing badly is actually really exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you have to be so stiff, and it's probably more demanding on your body than, because I'm not used to doing that kind of style. So it's been a big learning curve for me to get through it and to pace myself. And
how do you, because you know it's not the first time you've danced in a show obviously, but how do you as a dancer kind of maintain that in a long run, you know, like do you exercise a lot outside of the show? And
I actually don't need to. I don't think I've ever been fitter in my life, and I've been that dancer girl that's get thrown in the air and the role's so demanding that I don't have to exercise outside of my life. I also hate exercising, so that's kind of an excuse. But, it's this role, dance-wise, is so demanding because it's relentless. I mean, the Detone and Poco we do at the Sheldrake in Act 1, where it's the first time baby's ever been on stage. And it's really fun exploring what stage fright is like. I've never, even as a kid, I was the kid that you had to drag off stage, not drag on.
Yeah.
So it's such a different physicality to what I'm used to with dancing when you've got that confidence and
and
it's been really cool and discovering why we started doing all of this in the first place because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so, don't you reckon it's so easy to forget in a long run?
Yeah.
How lucky
we are to be doing this amazing.
The reason we decided to do it was because we liked it.
And
it can, all of a sudden it can just, you can forget that and you're like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. You know, it can become about everything else, but it's important to kind of come back to that.
Yeah, I mean, that really does get you through 8 times a week, I think, remembering how lucky we are to have this job. And
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, all three of us have been part of some pretty fantastic flops in the past. And no one ever really speaks about them. Like, I feel like it's like taboo territory to go into. Because for a long time, I thought that I was the jinx of a cast. Like, if I got cast in a show, that it would definitely flop.
Right.
So I was doing my research, and I think my biggest flop that I was ever in was Eureka, that awesome Australian musical that did so well. And yours would probably be An Officer and a Gentleman.
I don't know what you mean.
And Tegan, I had to kind of have two for you because High School Musical.
Nearly two that I've done it.
Yeah.
No, and the Addams Family didn't do so well either.
No.
But you know, and all of these shows had great things about them. But you know, and some of my favourite memories are from Eureka and the shows that didn't do so well. So what? Tell me how that is, you know, how do you cope with being in something that doesn't do so well? Because at the time it feels like your whole life is ending, but then you look back on it and you just kind of laugh about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me particularly, like I said, I think I'm probably a little bit too laid back to be in this industry, but I don't really mind. The shows that have flopped for me have had the best cast I've ever worked with, and I've had the best time, and I've got friends forever from them. So I've never really, I don't know, I've never really thought of them as this dark part in my life, because as well, I like to move on to things really quickly. So if I get to do a show and it closes in a couple of months, cool, move on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I've never really gotten too upset about it.
Uh-huh.
Mind you, I've never been in that capacity of the lead.
Yes.
So I think it's a very different world when you're in that. The show is riding on you and it closes, and that would be a completely different experience, I think. Whereas me, I'm just kind of like, woo, in the background, kicking my leg and be like, yay, money.
Yeah. What about you, Teagues? Because I know that, like, especially the Addams Family, that was really hard on lots of people. I have had close friends in that show, and it was a great show.
I think it was such a brilliant show. It was like, what? It was such a surprise.
Yeah.
Except for Teague, she was pretty shy.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It really, I think, Curbs and I met on High School Musical, and...
Oh, I didn't know you were in it.
Curbs. Yeah.
There you go. And then, you get another flop.
I can add that one too. I know. I was like, what do I get two? She had two too.
I understudied Tegan.
Yeah, okay, cool.
In our first show.
Yeah.
that's cute. Yeah, I think having that, like, that was my first ever commercial, big musical, and within, I don't know, I'm going to say 6 weeks, have no idea. We waited like a year to start that. We were cast a year in advance.
Yeah.
We started, and then we literally found out within 3 weeks, I think, that we were closing. And I was like, that's it. My whole life is over.
Mm-hmm.
And because as a young person, you don't think that it's... I just didn't realise that it was going to close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though our audiences were tiny and all that. So you're kind of like, this is so weird. Is this normal? But it was heartbreaking. And I remember Donna Lee, who played the teacher in the show. Yeah. She, when we found out, she said, like, well, that's showbiz, kids. And I was like, oh, okay. But we were devastated.
Yeah.
Devastated. And I think then...
It was a cast full of newbies too.
Yeah, like none of us had ever done anything really. And then when Addams Family closed, I was like, well, that's really sucky, but you kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
And you realise, like, we all sort of did. We were like, is it us? Are we bad? Are we this? Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. But in the end, you can't control. You can only control what you do.
Yeah. And you don't know who's going to buy the tickets.
No.
Yeah. We had the same on Eureka. We had the most incredible cast. Like, Michael Cormick and Nancy Hayes and Rachel Beck and Simon Gleeson and Barry Crocker and Amanda Muggleton. Like, it was just this, bang of people, and they just couldn't sell the ticket, you know. It's so... And I don't know. I just think that it's... When you're in the bubble of it too, you think that, you know, you think that it's going to be amazing because you're all on that roller coaster together.
Yeah.
And then when it kind of comes to a grinding halt, it's so hard. I mean, and even on Rock of Ages, we thought that we were in a hit, and we played and we played and we played, and then all of a sudden we just closed because they sold tickets in Melbourne, but they couldn't sell them in Sydney. And it's like, it's only, you know, it's an hour's flight away. What's the difference, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's so weird.
I think it's a good lesson. I mean, I'm happy I've gone through that in my career because it's a good lesson to really appreciate the job that you get and forever for how long you can have it.
Yeah.
We are so, you know, shows are so minimal in Australia that it's lucky to be open for a week.
Yes, that's true.
To sell any kind of ticket. And I mean, especially Sydney. Sydney's a really hard city, as we all know. Mm. And so we, as we were saying earlier, we're so lucky with the audiences in Sydney. Mm. They're really embracing us and we're so thankful because it's hard.
Yeah. Now, for those of you that follow Tegan and Kirby on social media, I'll give you their details later. It literally looks like you two plus others have like a total blast when you're out and about together. It just looks like you're having so much fun. So, you know, and especially with a friend of yours, Chloe Zuhl, right, who's in Les Mis at the moment. It's like the three of you are like girls on the town, you know, just going hard or going home. And that's awesome to see, like, you know, that you three women have this awesome kind of bond. How important is that to you guys, you know, in a work sense and then just in a life sense? You're three really successful girls doing really great things, but you kind of seem to be supporting each other. And, you know, Chloe was at your opening and I stalked you guys before I did this interview. You know, on the red carpet with Ben, your partner, and, you know, that's just beautiful. Like, how important is that stuff to you guys?
So important.
Yeah.
I mean, Curbs and I, we did meet on High School Musical, but we were like, we didn't really get to know each other then.
Yeah. And we've had this massive break since.
Yeah. Like, even seeing each other.
Yeah.
So Chloe is like our mutual.
Yeah, she's like the connect the dots.
Yeah.
Because I did Hairspray with Chloe, which we became best friends, and then Chloe did Legally Blonde. With they became best friends, and now Chloe's in another city and she's so jealous that two of her best friends are in the show.
Yeah.
So we've just kind of gravitated towards each other, and it's just, I mean, within friends within the industry, as this is a perfect example, one of our best friends is on the other side of the country right now with a completely different time zone, which kills us.
Annoying.
But it's so important to have friends within this industry that are so supportive with each other, because we forget how we're all in this together, you know, not to use a line from our first musical. But it's so nice to be supporting someone else in the industry and so genuinely proud. I went down to Melbourne and I saw Chloe play Eponine, and in the first scene, she wasn't even Eponine, she was a bum. And I bawled my eyes out and like embarrassingly. I don't cry ever.
Yeah.
And then she came to stage door and I bawled my eyes out. And it's just so nice to have someone that, you know, the struggle they go through to do what they do every day. And it's nice to be proud of someone in the same capacity that you're proud of yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and have her so proud of us too. Like,
yeah.
It was so nice that on opening night, she was just telling everyone.
Yeah.
everyone. How proud she was. How good we were.
We do have, I know the photos you're referring to. We do have an incriminating video of us where we haven't shown anyone.
No.
Where sometime in the middle of the night, walking down the street, singing three-part harmony, Do You Love Me? It's great. We don't remember it, but
yeah,
it's fun to do that with your friends too.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked about Ben a little bit.
Yes.
You guys seem to have like struck this awesome balance with these awesome careers that you're having. Ben Mingay, for people that don't know, is a theatre performer in his own right, but he's also on Wonderland. So he's just on Network 10, which is just awesome.
That
a theatre guy got a role on
over.
The TV. Yeah. He like holds the fire for all of us.
Yeah.
Like you guys seem to be navigating this
you
know, high profile relationship and successful careers and stuff. Like, any advice to me and Tegan?
I think
to the single gals.
I think just chill out.
Yeah.
You know, it's we have the same problems as every other relationship.
Yeah.
You know, that's life and that's being a human. And
yeah.
I think we found something very unique in each other, that we are so laid back within our opinions of the industry, and we're both fighting for the same thing and really want it as much as each other. But it's also life.
Yeah.
You know, we want to share that with each other, and I've never been more proud of someone in my life when he gets his achievements.
You get the sense of that you're both so proud of each
other. Yeah. Beautiful. When he was there on opening night, I mean, for me, that kind of opening night is wasn't really about me in this show. It was about my parents, my sister, Chloe, Ben, being there, all these people that have pushed me through this industry when, you know, when we're unemployed, yeah, when we have no money, can I borrow $20 for dinner so I can eat?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. It's more about them, and to share that so closely with someone who is in the same position is really lovely. And I mean, I don't think there's any special formula to make it work. It just, we got lucky with each other, I guess.
Aww. He's a good one. Aww. He's a keeper. He was in one of my first shows, Hair.
Oh, really?
We did, yeah, because I did like the production company production of Hair, and then it was successful, and so they toured it. So they only brought half the cast up to Sydney, and and they hired like half a Sydney cast, and Ben was in that.
I
Sydney
actually
cast.
Saw that show, and I remember him naked in front of me.
Well, a lot of us remember Ben naked.
I was about 12.
Yeah,
there you go.
I just remember going. That show was so interesting in terms of the nudity because. You know, it's a huge melting pot of ethnicities and stuff.
Yeah.
And us little white guys didn't really want to stand
no
near the black
intended.
Guys. Yeah. But Ben Mingay is well endowed. I've said it on the podcast.
No comment.
It's amazing to kind of see him do so well from that. Because when he came onto that show, he was just like,
This guy
who just didn't know anything about the industry, but he had this like raw, natural talent. And I remember David Atkins and Jason Coleman just going like, this guy is so special, but he doesn't even kind of know it. Because he understudied Matt Hetherington and he went on a couple of times. Yeah. And everyone was like, you know, I was like, I've been to drama school for 3 years to do that. And you just do it.
He's one of those lucky people, you know, where you see them. They pop up every now and then that just has that natural talent. Like he's a dude in real life, so it's easy.
Yeah.
But for his audition, have you ever heard his story about auditioning for the role?
I think so, but tell it.
He went in, he was auditioning and with the burger sides.
Yeah.
Never auditioned properly before, so he didn't realise that you didn't actually have to follow the stage direction because it was the scene where Burger takes all his clothes off.
Yes.
So he's in the audition and it says, take your clothes off. So he got absolutely butt naked in his first audition. And the panel were just like,
Please put the clothes on.
Thank you. You're standing there going, was that good? He just had no idea. He was in the original Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And he took in 3 real watermelons for the audition and then cut it up and gave it to the panel for their lunch. So he's just one of those people that, he does whatever comes into his head and it seems
and
to work.
People would say, don't do that. You know, like people would say, don't give the panel watermelon.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but he makes it work because it's actually genuine. It's not trying to suck up. It's like, well, I've got a watermelon. Do you want it?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, so that's the hard stuff over, girls. Cool. We're going to do the Ticket A42 test. Okay. Great thing is you can't fail. You get 100%. So
we're very competitive.
We are.
First thing, the kid in A42, which kind of references the name of the show, just was my moment when I knew that I wanted to be in a big show, and most performers have one sitting in the audience. What was your girl's moment? Did you have one?
I think, like, I remember, like, when I was 10, seeing Beauty and the Beast at the Princess Theatre and sitting up in the dress circle to the left and watching, it was Sharon Millichip playing Belle, and going, like, oh, I want to be that.
Yeah.
But I think the moment when I was like, oh, I can do that is We Will Rock You. What was that, 2007
or something, wasn't it?
I think it was earlier than that. 3, 4.
Right. Oh, God.
4.
Oh,
five.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
I think I was finishing high school or, I don't know, that sort of timing. And I was sitting there and the music was just, like, pumping through me. And I think Amanda Harrison was singing and I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I still didn't know how to do that, but that was it. Yeah.
Right.
Curbs.
I don't know. I grew up in the country, so the only reason we started theatre and all that kind of jazz is we didn't know anyone, and so there was this local theatre group, and Mum took me and my sister along and said to my dad, if you want to see us, you may as well join because this is what we're going to do. And I played a mouse in Cinderella when I was 3, and I constantly did amateur theatre my whole life and dancing and sports and all that kind of stuff. And the only time I never wanted to do anything else, but I didn't actually think you could do this as a career. I never thought that these people that I watch in movies and were real.
Yeah.
And we had hardly seen any shows. And actually, Beauty and the Beast is one of the first shows I ever saw. And I think it was at Her Majesty's Theatre or it was in Melbourne, the Princess. Yeah. And we had little binoculars and it was all this very, you know, amazing experience. But it was Deb Mitchell-Moore, who you would know through Hair. Her parents lived in Batemans Bay.
Yeah.
And she used to come home and I found out that she does musicals for a living.
Yeah.
And the only reason I was dancing and doing all that was because of my sister, and my sister decided, well, I want to do that too. And so typical young sister, I said, well, if you're doing it, I have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's honestly the only, there was never seeing a show or anything. It was just realizing, oh, this is actually real. Someone can make a living out of this. Well, all right, that'll do.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny, Deb Mitchell-Moore? You know, you meet people along your career and stuff, and I remember on the closing night of Hair, I don't know if she was in it or not with the production company, but she assisted or...
I saw it when she did it in Sydney. She was assistant resident director.
Yeah, yeah. And she said to me, we were at the Jeannie Pratt, that was back in the day at the production company when Jeannie Pratt would have you back to her home on the closing night for dinner, and it was like nothing you've ever imagined. And... it was my first year out of WAPA and stuff, and so I just was like, I have totally made it. I'm at Jenny Pratt's house. And Olivia Newton-John's daughter was in the show, Chloe Latanzi. Yeah. She played one of the littler roles. And Olivia Newton-John was there, so I just thought that
this
I was it. Like, I was it.
You can die now.
Olivia Newton-John's here. And Deb Mitchell-Moore said to me, because I still was like, oh, I want to be in shows so bad, but I don't think I'm good enough, even though I'd just done one. And... she was like, you've got more shows than you, John O'Hara. You've got more shows than you. And I was like, oh my God, Deb Mitchell-Moore thinks I've got more shows than
That's
me.
It.
You know?
It's real.
Yeah, it's it. I'm real. And because I'd seen her in Boy From Oz, the original Boy from Oz, just screaming her face off on that top harmony.
Oh my, in the end of their little trio. Yeah. I've listened to that soundtrack so many times. I remember watching that show when Todd McKenney was doing it.
Yeah.
And he said, and remember your life vests are under your seat. And I thought, I get a free life vest. And I looked under my seat and I was so embarrassed because I would have been like 7 or something back then. I was very young and I absolutely thought that we got free life vests, like glittery, you know, outfits.
Oh,
we didn't.
That's funny. Hey, ladies, what has got your goat? Anything.
People not letting you in traffic.
Great merging.
And not doing like the thank you
wave.
Kills me.
Easy.
Yeah.
I hate when people turn left, but they're turning left from like half in the middle lane and half in the left lane. Like they don't pull over to the left to turn left. So no one else can drive.
Do you hate the hook turn in Melbourne then? No. It's because it's more regulated.
Turned, yeah. It's fine.
Okay. All right. very superstitious. We have, you know, theatre animals. We've got a few superstitions and rituals in showbiz.
She's got a good one.
Yeah. Yes. What are yours on Dirty Dancing?
Oh, my superstition.
Well, the thing that you do in the book. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I am surprisingly very superstitious nowhere else in my life.
Yeah.
Except for the theatre. Like, one of the dancers took me into their backstage area before the show and I was like, I can't be here. I've never been here before, so I need to just be where I stand. But I have this is really corny, actually. I have this book that I write in at the start of the show when we open. And I just write "I love Ben" over and over on every single page. It just says "I love Ben,"
that's
which
really
is
sweet.
So corny. I can't believe I just told you
that's
that.
Sweet.
Feel free to edit that out. But
you
now
guys
I like
a nice airing this afternoon, isn't it?
I actually can't write anything else now because it's just I started it as a joke to myself, and now it's done. That's it.
The whole
for
book
the rest
will be
the,
finished. Yeah, "I love Ben." Takes anything?
Nothing really. No. I try not to get into it. I get into habits and I try to break them really quickly.
I'm the same. I
have
I go
to,
crazy.
Yeah, I go crazy. I have to definitely brush my teeth before the show.
Me too.
But I think that's
I can't do that.
I was going to say, I think it's just hygienic. But
that makes me really dry. So then I'm like, that was the summer. And I can't talk.
Yeah.
But Teeks, we talk about like doing the same thing over and over, and I always challenge her on stage. Like, I'll tell her to do certain things or give her an on-stage challenge, and you'll inevitably
hopeless.
End up like throwing a prop across the stage
or
falling over.
With a leg. Yeah, I'm hopeless.
Love it. Tell me the five things you can't live without, Kirby.
Oh, can I go second?
Tegan, tell me the five things you can't live without.
No.
Family.
Yeah.
Friends.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll steal them both.
Unfortunately, my phone.
Yeah.
Food, and I'm going to say silence or alone time.
Okay.
I think I would die if I was around people all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I go family and friends one, or can they be two?
They can be connected.
Okay. Family and friends.
And I am running the show.
You're the rule maker. Ben.
Yeah.
High heels.
Yeah.
Short shorts.
Yeah.
Food, of course, because I'm a massive eater. That's...
I feel like you're an eight.
Oh, that's it. <I'm joking. laughs> I don't know. And just fun.
Yeah.
That's a silly one.
No, that's good.
Fun.
That's good. All right. Diva Tanti. So we work in the theatre, right? People have diva tanties. And they're always really serious when they're happening, but they're really funny after the fact. I'm sure you've both seen them thrown, or even might want to tell me about one that you've thrown yourself.
Have you thrown one?
I cannot recall throwing one.
I think if I, like, I know, never. Yeah. One to five is like the math. That's all I'll show in public.
Yeah.
If I've ever had like a diva moment, I'll go into Tease's dressing room and just be like, I need to vent to you, or something like that. But we've definitely seen a lot in our career, but...
None you're willing to share.
I had one on a show when I was younger. It wasn't me. It was someone did it for me.
Yeah.
Like, I had a pair of stockings that had like thousands of holes in them, and for some reason...
The damn stockings in this industry will kill anyone, I reckon.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to have a new pair of stockings. Anyway, this person found out about it and marched upstairs and said what needed to be said, and came downstairs and gave me a new pair of stockings. And I was like,
thanks.
That's how you do it.
It's like a diva moment through someone else.
I was out-of-body experience. Fine, I'll just wear the holy stockings. I didn't care.
Yeah.
But they were like, no way.
No way.
That's the thing. I think Teagues and I are too similar in that sense of, I just figure so many people have got other jobs that they need to be doing. They don't need to worry about me being pissed off about something. You just let it slide.
That's what closed door dressing rooms
are for. That's right.
Phone a friend. Who would you guys call if, you know, who's your one-stop shop friend?
Well, I would call my mum.
Yeah.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah. If it wasn't a family member or a partner, Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah.
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 Chloe Zool.
Chloe
Zool, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's actually quite funny because it'll be like I'll walk in and Teagues is on the phone and I know she's talking to Chloe, and then they'll hang up and then I get a phone call and it's Chloe. vice versa.
Yeah.
We just tag team.
That's funny. It's nice. It must be nice that you guys have, you're working in a theatre that the phone reception works, because that's what's hard about here. Like, no phone reception works down here.
Yeah.
We're like, da-da-da-da-da.
I know.
We're in the Wicked dressing room, guys, if you didn't know. This is our sound studio today. Tell me your showbiz, showmance, show crush. Like, we all get them on whatever we're working on, and they kind of defy age and sexuality and availability and stuff. Like, okay. Do you have any show crushes in Dirty Dancing, or, yeah.
In Dirty Dancing.
You know, like a bit of a talent crush, or...
Well, in Dirty Dancing... This is Kirby. I just think she's wonderful.
Keep going.
No. She's just a really good leading lady.
Yeah.
And I like that. And she's silly and fun and really good, 110% all the time.
Yeah.
She organises all our outings, which is really cool.
Social secretary.
Yeah. But no, she's good and I like her.
Yeah.
But now it's lame if I say you.
You have to say me.
I know, but that's the truth. Like, it is Teagues.
Yeah.
But also because outside of that, not just to be like corny and say Teagues, which she said me, I understudied Tegan in my very first show.
Yeah.
So she's been someone right from the beginning that I've constantly looked up to and you know, and this isn't lies. I wrote it in my opening night card. Like, I do look up to Tegan because Oh, well, I don't need to say all that shit. Anyway, she's amazing and I love working with her. And it's just funny that we're playing sisters because of Chloe, because I understudied in my first show and I just never, I never thought I would be in this position. It's really nice to be on stage with someone that you truly respect.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Here, here.
Love fest.
Love fest.
I know, it's lame, isn't
hashtag
it?
Hashtag love fest. Hey, genie in a bottle. So a genie grants you 3 wishes, but the person I interviewed before you, which was Erin James, could only want 2. So you guys get 4, but let's like give you 2 each.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough.
So 2 wishes each. Go, Kirby.
Oh, okay. I'll just go straight to vanity. A tan, a natural tan would be really nice.
Oh, me too. You did it.
And an Oscar.
Sure.
Just small dreams.
Small. I want to be able to eat all the food in the world and never get fat.
Yes.
And...
That's hilarious. It's hard.
I'm going to say like...
World peace.
I was going to say world peace. But maybe to teleport to my family and friends around the world.
Oh, did that's I? Done.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about it.
I'm so selfish. I was like, a tan and a
yeah.
Yeah. Like, world peace. See my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're totally baby right now and I'm Lisa.
switcheroo. So you guys get to ask me a question. I'll answer anything.
Ooh.
I guess you both get a question. Or if you want to ask one together, that's cool too.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know me very well, Kirby. Tegan knows me better.
What's your underwear size?
Oh. Again, I was going to go serious.
Well, you know, that's what
I
you
like. We're medium.
Okay.
But sometimes you...
It depends on the style, right?
Yeah, and sometimes you... We were talking about this in the dressing room the other day, like the boys.
I'm glad I
sometimes
asked
your butt, like... It looks a bit like a girl...
A little
cheeky.
French undies.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. Well, I don't think my butt's that big. And, like, I had a medium on and my butt was hanging out the sides.
Oh, okay.
Both sides.
What brand was this?
This was an Aussie bum.
Oh,
so you order them online.
Oh, Aussie bum?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Yeah. I like an Aussie bum.
Yeah.
Right.
An Aussie bum undie.
An Aussie bum undie.
Yeah, and an Aussie bum.
Yeah.
And sometimes you know a bit of cheek's good, I guess, but...
It depends on the situation,
this
though,
wasn't
right?
good cheek.
Yeah.
Because I don't wear it... Wow, we're just covering all the big topics.
You wear your Aussie bums in the show.
Yeah,
is what you're
I don't wear a dance support in with it, which is the first show ever that I haven't had to wear a G string. For people that don't know, it's like a male dance support keeps it all in shape and place. Don't have to in this show because I'm wearing robes the whole time. I could freeball, no one would know. But yeah, my
that's gonna be an audience challenge. Yes, when Jenna Hara's freeballing.
Yeah. But I just felt uncomfortable. I was picking my undies out of my bum the whole day.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, not good.
Okay, real question.
I was going to ask you, when did you know that you wanted to do radio?
I've always wanted to do radio. And I actually auditioned for the radio broadcasting course at Whopper at the same time that I auditioned for the music theatre course at Whopper.
Wow.
And I got into the music theatre course and didn't get into the radio course. And I was kind of devastated about it, but as if you're going to say no to the Whopper course, and I really love music theatre and all of that stuff too, and I really wanted to do that. But it's always been an interest of mine, and I think over the last maybe like 2 years, I just was like, well, I've done quite a few musicals now, and I love them, and I think I'll always be an actor and sing and stuff, but I definitely want to do other things, and radio was one of them, so... When we were in Melbourne doing Wicked, I was studying part-time at the radio school and, that's kind of that. And, yeah, I've been, like, meeting people up here and I'd love to align them both in some way. And I think you can do that.
Well, you're very good.
Yeah, oh, thanks. You're good to me. Hey, ladies, tell me a secret skill that you have that no one knows about. Can be so trivial, you know.
I studied in a circus for... a lot of my high school years.
Yeah.
So I was in a traveling circus.
Yeah.
Is that a secret?
Yeah. Well, secret skill. I mean,
I majored in tissue.
Uh-huh.
Or silks.
Yeah.
And adagio, which is partner lifting. And my clown name is Kaplop. I am a graduated clown.
Is your clown sad?
No, my clown is like so naughty.
Clowns freak me out a bit.
Mine.
Did you have to find your clown?
Yeah, you have to find what suits your, what blends with your personality and what, which can be completely opposite to what you are, or there's a whole science behind it.
Wow.
Because if you try and be like this sad clown, it can be really scary if it's so not you.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kaplop is my alter ego, I guess. And I used to be able to ride a unicycle and do all that, but yeah, Kaplop. And Jiffy was my best friend who was my clown partner.
Yeah.
Jiffy and Kaplop. There you go.
That's
secret
incredible.
Skill techs. What's yours?
Well, I'm not a clown. I know I did a Reiki course last year.
Really?
Yeah. Did you not know that?
I'm using that.
Oh. Yeah. It's always just something that I wanted to do. And so I did it.
So you're
I'm only at level one, so I'm not like a master or anything yet.
Yeah.
But I like to heal people.
Sure. With touch.
With touch.
Yeah. Cool. This is called This or That, right? Uh-huh. 30 questions. Just answer whatever you feel. So I've never done this with two people, so let's see how we go. You both just say your answers over the top of each other. Ready?
We're so competitive.
Yeah. So sweet or savory?
Sweet.
Savory.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Yes. Tea or coffee?
None.
I hate them both.
Great. Mum or dad?
Oh,
you can't do that. Mad. Blend of the two.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What Clever. She said.
Black or white?
Black.
In or out?
Oh.
In?
Yeah, in, probably. Definitely in.
Up or down?
Up.
Left or right?
Right.
Walk or run?
Walk.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Sydney.
Yeah. Beer or wine?
Wine.
No. Oh, wine.
Diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Under or over?
Over.
Uh-huh.
Under.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I said that.
Love or money?
Love.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
This is hilarious. Boxes or briefs?
Oh.
Ooh.
Briefs.
Boxes.
Paper or plastic?
Paper.
Paper.
Christmas or birthdays?
Christmas.
Kisses or hugs?
Kisses.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Bad or good?
Bad.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Wrong or right?
Right.
Ooh. Right.
So competitive, so it has to be
mates
right.
Mates or dates?
Dates.
Yeah.
Day
dates with your mates.
Dates with your mates. I like your stuff. Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
Me.
I'm kidding. You. Totally you.
Amazing. Hey, now we're coming to the end, so we're just going to shamelessly plug your project, which is Dirty Dancing. It's touring nationally throughout 2015. You can go to dirtydancingaustralia.com for dates and tickets. And you follow the cast and their shenanigans on Twitter and Instagram. Their handle is DDOzTour. And on Facebook, it's Dirty Dancing, the classic story on stage. Kirby Burgess is on Instagram and Twitter. What's your handle?
Kirby Burgess.
Kirby Burgess.
Can't go wrong.
So is Tegan Wooters. What's yours?
Tegan.
If you want to talk to me, my handle is John James O'Hara. Please keep tweeting and letting me know what you'd like to hear, and use the hashtag TicketA42. If there's anything you want to research about what we've spoken about today, go to the aussietheatre.com website /TicketA42. And there's an information page there. You can also download the podcast on iTunes and rate it if you feel like you might like to do that. We're going to take a little selfie, girls. Here we go. And, hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
So much fun. Get along to see Dirty Dancing, guys. They're on tour. Thank you, Kirby and Tegan.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.